is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance. I just want to make a statement this morning. I love America. As the world comes to our shores seeking freedom to be what, that's what they want. They want what the United States offers. And they want the blessings of our freedom. They want the desire, the opportunities of prosperity that their country cannot give them, but what this country could afford them. Yet the very few of them come here realizing that all the blessings and all these opportunities and all these things that America has offered were purchased by the blood of our forefathers who paid the greatest price that man can and did pay, their sacrifice of fortune, blood, limb, and life. The greatest mistake that these immigrants make is that they come from their countries that could not afford to offer them these wonderful freedoms that we have. But the interesting thing is they want to bring their ideas of their society and their culture into our country and our nation with the very things that cause them not to have the freedom of their country that they came for. Happiness can be enjoyed here. To this, it is very outrageous. If you want to come to our country and enjoy our freedoms, then you need to abandon your motherland, adhere and cling to the precepts of the country that can afford you these freedoms. Don't come here and try to change our culture, and don't come here to try to change our laws and our traditions. Yes, America is the melting pot, a melting pot that does not separate its classes of different nations. It melts them together. Personally, I say, if you want to come to America, then you leave your old ways in your country. You come and join our democracy. You learn our language. You accept our faith in God we trust. You learn to live the principles of the Bible as our forefathers did. Amen. When our ancestors came, my ancestors came from America in the 1800s. They came from Switzerland and Ireland and Scotland and Netherlands. Marsh's ancestors came from Norway and Germany. They came and swore allegiance to the United States of America. They learned its language. They joined the military. They put off their national customs and lived the ways of the Americans. Let me remind you that there is no other country in the world that has the heritage and the history of the United States of America. It's amazing to think that a nation was conceived by a godly man. They realized that freedoms come from God alone, and his divine sovereignty was the guiding light that directed the affairs of mankind. When Christopher Columbus, and though the world is trying to rewrite our history, Christopher Columbus discovered America, and it was Christianity that he had performed the impact on those that sought the better life, the new world. In Columbus' diary, he points out that Jesus Christ as his sustainer and his guide. After a long, hard voyage that brought Columbus to what became the greatest nation on earth, he said that it was the result of the direct calling of God. As the pilgrims, it was tireless pursuit to find relief in religious bondage that they were forced to have in their native land. 42 pilgrims who signed the Mayflower contract and dreamed of a place where they could worship and serve God according to their dictates of biblical faith. Their quest is best summed up in the motto of the Mayflower contract that says, "To the glory of God and advancement of the Christian faith." That's how America started. Don't you let people tell you it's different. America's first president, George Washington, was a profound man of faith. His diaries portrayed an individual who solely relied on the power of God and the faith in Christ to guide him as a leader. Sure be nice if we had that today. Washington knew that America's success came from God, and that is without God's help, America could never succeed as a nation. As the framers of our country wove the words that we're about to enjoy tomorrow, in the structure of the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution, They were not moved by the words based on man's wisdom, but on passage of the Holy Scriptures of God, God's wisdom, which they used freely to scalp and reasoning and the structure of America's founding institution document. We live in a great country. It started by great people that loved God. Can we just for a minute observe our flag? 13 stripes, red and white stripes, illustrate the 13 colonies. 50 red star, white stars in the field of blue represents the different states of our nation. The red on the American flag stands for courage, white for purity, and blue for justice and loyalty. Boy, we need that today. Our first flag in the United States was adopted on June 14, 1777. We commemorate that day, call it Flag Day every year. An upside-down flag means serious emergency. A flag should never touch the ground or be disrespectfully in any manner. If a flag becomes unusable, they are to be burned in a proper manner. The flag should be displayed every day except for the weather. It may damage it or make sure there's a light on it at night. America salutes the flag at the following times. We salute the American flag as it goes by in a parade. We put our hand over our chest. We pledge allegiance to it. We salute the American flag when it's being raised or when it's lowered. We salute the American flag when singing the Star Spangled Banner as we did this morning. We salute the American flag when saying the Pledge of Allegiance, and we still say the Pledge of Allegiance here, amen. America should be saluted, Americans should salute the flag. A person wearing a military uniform is supposed to salute that flag. There's nothing like it. Unlike seeing you proud Americans that serve our country salute that flag. The person in regular dress should salute the flag by placing his right hand over his heart. A man wearing a hat should remove his hat and hold that hat over his left shoulder with the palm facing his heart. I love that pledge. I pledge allegiance. That means I'm promised to be loyal and true. Hear that? I promise to be loyal and true to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic. We are governed where the people elect the representatives for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible. We are impossible to divide. Oh, God, help us to get back to that. Amen. With liberty, that's freedom. And justice, that's fairness to all. I wrote down some things I think I owe my country. First of all, I owe my country to read my Bible every day and pay attention to what it says. I need to pray for my government officials. I hear a lot of people cussing our government officials. You ought to be praying for them, amen. I need to raise a good family. I need to teach my family character. I need to teach my family morals. Amen. I need to teach my family to be disciplined. I need to be a member of a godly church that preaches the Word of God. I need to regularly attend all the services with all my family. I need to go to Sunday school. I need to go to Wednesday Bible study. I need to listen intently to the preaching. I need to get the best education I can get for my country. Hear me now? I need to work hard for my country. I need to be a good student of American history. I need to find out that there's a lot of people who sent a lot of lies out towards our country. I need to read a daily paper, though it lies most of the time. Whether I agree with it in a liberal bent, I ought to read and find out what's going on in this old world. I need to read a good monthly news magazine. I need to be enthusiastic about my country. I need to be unselfish for my country. I need to love my country. I need to be willing to give my children in the service of my country. I need to be willing to give my children to the service of my country. And I need to be a team player. You know, my dad was in politics for 25 years. My grandfather in politics for 23 years. And this is what my dad used to tell me. Son, once the voting is over, I'm no more Republican or Democrat. I'm for the people. It's not a game we play. It's voted, get in, do some good for our country. Well, I'm thinking about America. What a land of opportunity we have. Say what you will about it. I love it. I still cry at the Star Spangled Banner sung. I still stand straight and tall, and something wells up in my heart when I salute the flag. I put my right hand over my heart. I love America. Amen. America is the only large country that never lost a war, never permanently given up an inch of territory except that by our own free will. No other nation can boast of that. The Star Spangled Banner is the one flag that's never stooped in its proud head to defeat. God bless America. America, America, God shed his grace on thee and crown thy good with brotherhood from sea to shining sea. What a great country we've got. We ought to love it. We ought to stand up for it. We shouldn't be bowing down to other countries and apologizing for the things that we knew that were right when we did them, amen? I thought I'd hear a holler about that one, amen? We have to do everything we can to preserve the freedom of our country and the freedom we enjoy today. Yet, ladies and gentlemen, America is sick. A man who works for a large Fortune 500 company was told he could not meet with his fellow Christian employees at work to pray. In America. Meanwhile, other groups are allowed to use the company resources to meet and promote their wicked and immoral agenda. Something wrong with that. I love justice. If it's good for me, then it's good for you. And if it's good for you, then it's good for me. You should not have an upper hand on anything. We're all equal in this thing. Christian business owner owns a painting company. He was sued by a witch for refusing to paint her materials about witchcraft. A pastor was invited to open the state Senate session, and the prayer was asked to leave because he was going to end his prayer in Jesus' name. It does not compute. I don't get it. But there's a day coming, my friend, when the Bible says every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that he is God. I hope to tell you today that there are so many people that we have just, they've lost reason. I'll just tell you that. They've lost what a country was built on. I want you to know I'm an American. And I love America. I see some things in America that I would like to talk to you about. I want to talk to you about our greatness. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 34, righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. My friend, the Bible is just as true. That scripture just as true as John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. It is just as true that the scripture said righteousness is all the nations, but sin is a reproach to any people. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us sins, cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We read that scripture at the start. Blessed is the nation who God is the Lord and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance. I'm afraid that our leaders of this country, and I'm talking generally speaking, have either forgotten or they do not know the truth of these verses of scriptures. The way to greatness is not found in the avenues of what they are pursuing. Greatness is found in the simple truth. Blessed is the nation who God is the Lord. You know, Friday night and Saturday, I was out with my grandboys. sitting there right there grinning. And we were out in some beautiful country in Montana. You know, God has given America some wonderful natural resources. Practically every commodity that man uses can be found here in America. Found in our fields, every crop is grown, every tree in America, every fruit and wood is secured. From the mines of America, every mineral of man uses is dug. And from the prairies, the American, in every meat and that which is good to eat. Isn't it amazing what God has given to us in America? There are some countries that they can't exist unless people help them, but we are self-contained. God has given us a bountiful natural beauty. Every type of scenery that can be found in the world is seen here. When you talk about the beautiful coast of the Mediterranean, why don't you go to the Atlantic coast and the Pacific Gulf coast? When you talk about the Danube and the beautiful rivers of Europe, how about our beautiful Ohio River and the St. Lawrence Seaway and the mighty Missouri River and the mighty Mississippi and the Colorado? When you talk about the mountains of the Switzerland, the Alps, we like to point to you the Alleghenies and the Adirondacks and the Smokies and the Rockies. I thought of you, Marcy, when I said the Smokies. Amen. When you talk about the interesting spots in the world, about let's talk about Niagara Falls and Grand Canyon and the Yellowstone and the Glacier National Park and Redwood Forest and the Silver Springs and the Stone Mountain down in Georgia. When I was a little boy, I remember they had a slogan go around. It said, "See America first." I think that's pretty good advice. You put all the scenery of all the world together, and in my biased opinion, we can match it or even be better than the United States. What a beautiful country we have. But not only do we have bountiful resources, beautiful country, but we also have a wonderful form of government that we live under. Though we may not always use it as we should to its best potential, we have a free democracy. In a little over 200 years, the United States has been a nation. The government of every nation on earth has changed. Not ours. But America's government, despite its attack upon it, it's still the name, the Declaration of Independence, and the Constitution is still guarding our liberties. And you need to pray. You need to pray for our country. God has given American freedom of speech, and freedom of the press. I can come to this platform and preach whatever I wish without worrying about governmental harassment. You need to pray for that. I can speak the conviction of my heart, not worry about the sheriff coming and taking me and locking me up. The edition of the paper can be written as which they come as they want. Even when they downgrade America, if he wishes, he has the freedom. Our good form of government has given to him so he can do that. You try that in Nepal. 16 people last week were arrested for they passed out Bibles in Nepal. Breaks my heart. Let's see you do it in Russia and China and Syria and Afghanistan and all the rest of the places. Go ahead and walk into the pulpit. Let a man preach the word of God as he wants, and I'll tell you the secret police will be on him and place him in a concentration camp or Siberia or a prison. Only God knows what will happen to him. Yes, God bless America. America is great. God has given us America the religious freedom. Whatever you believe, no one can choose your church. I know that is a sad day in America, but even the Sodomites have their own church. By the freedom given to America, it is certainly far from the Bible. But they have that freedom. A Muslim can have a mosque, and the imam can preach their hatred of evil and place of worship in America. They have that freedom. In 1937, May 1st, Stalin issued a decree. Listen to what he said. There must not remain in the territory of the Soviet Union or Soviet Russia a single house of prayer and the very conception of God will be banished from the boundaries of Russia. Yet in America, we still have that religious freedom. Did you ever know where we got the religious freedom in America? Let me tell you this morning. A humble Baptist preacher named Roger Williams. He was persecuted for his belief, yes, in America. And he fled, which is known as the state of Rhode Island. He founded the city of Providence. And in the constitution of the state, the Baptist preacher wrote, every man should be free to worship God according to the dictates of his own heart. You like that? I do. Amen. Roger Williams. Don't forget him. Go on your internet and Google his name. When Thomas Jefferson and others were forming the Constitution of the United States, they borrowed this principle and inserted this part in our Constitution of America. Our religious freedom came from a humble Baptist preacher named Roger Williams. Yes, God has given us freedom religion. God has given to us separation of church and state. And I want you to be careful because I hear a lot of people dumbing down this. They're saying you cannot have religion in the country. That's a lie. Some do not understand what it meant by that expression. It means that no particular church is accepted as a state church. Citizens of this country are not forced to pay taxes to support what is known as a state church. You go with me today to Norway and you'll find out the state church is Lutheran. We were there one Sunday and my wife and I, our family, were sitting in that church and we were talking to some of the people and they said, our pastor is not here. And I said, where is he? He says, he's on vacation. I said, when's he come back? Oh, 10 weeks. I said, 10 weeks? I wanted to call my deacons right there. I said, 10 weeks? He said, yeah. And not only that, they make him. He cannot stand in his own pulpit for 10 weeks. And then they explain how much money that he was paid. I think I'll be a Lutheran preacher. And he said, I said, well, boy, the church, I said, the church doesn't pay, the government of Norway pays that. We are all taxed, and it goes to the church. And see, when our forefathers came to America, they wanted to have freedom of religion. And they didn't want some Baptist to tell them that they had to pay their money to the Baptist church and everybody had to go to the Baptist church. They wanted an opportunity that everybody could worship in the dictates of God's own, God has given them. That's a good deal, amen? I'm glad that we can come here to Heritage Baptist Church. If this is just the Episcopalian, same thing. You know, that's what happened over in England. Citizens of this country are not forced to pay taxes to support the known state church. We have no state religion in America. That is what separation of church and state means. The separation of church and state does not mean that Christians are not to be interested in his politics. Buddy, you better make sure you can vote this fall. We are God-given right and responsibility to vote when it comes time to elect officials in our country. Every believer should exercise his God-given right very prayerfully and very carefully, seeing the right of men and women to be put in the right office. It bothers me that we have neglected this opportunity in many cases, have allowed the wrong men and wrong women in the office. God give us some born-again, blood-washed believers who have the backbone made of iron and will of steel, who will govern by biblical principles, who will stand up for the right things in this country. No, I'm not running for president. God has given us a country where everybody has a chance. Aren't you glad about that? It doesn't make any what color you are. Henry Ford once said of a group of young men, he was meeting with a group of young men, he says, there is no such thing as no chance. Thank God for America. Any poor boy who has a dream can be something in America. Henry Ford said. I heard a story of an old preacher named B.R. Lakin. I had the privilege of listening to him preach one time. He's about 80-some years old when he preached. Man, he's still preaching up a storm. I mean, he put that plow down. He is shucking corn. He is picking cotton all at the same time. Man, did he preach. He said, I plowed with a mule on the farm, looking up to the heaven with tears coursing down my cheeks. I said, dear God, someday I'll be something. Someday I'll be something. And he plowed that old mule down that furrow. And sure enough, that great preacher crisscrossed America and preached in every state of the Union, in his words, like a little plow, a little boy plowing our cornrow. Thomas Edison was a poor boy. But today the whole world uses 1,150 inventions that he made for his mind, from his mind and to his hand. Yes, in America, everybody has a chance. Everybody. No matter who you are, no matter what color your skin, no matter how much education and background you got, if it all means business, here's a chance in America. Aren't you glad about that? 1800s, someone made the suggestion that they'd close the patent office because everything that was going to be invented had already been invented. That was 1800. That was before automobiles, telephones, telegraphs, before thousands and thousands of other things that we feel we can't live without today. Thank God for Facebook. I can see what you put on there. Now I got a sermon to preach against. Amen. America. What a land of opportunities. Say what you will about it. I love it. I know I've said this before, but I'll say it again. I still cry at the Star Spangled Banner. Tomorrow when we go to the parade, and they come through there with the honor guard, and those flags furling in the air, you're going to see old preacher with his hand over his heart and tears coming down his eyes. I love America. I'm going to stand as straight as I can and tall as I can. I'm going to salute that flag by putting my right hand over my heart. I still appreciate America. We've never permanently given up. No nation can ever bold for that. What a country we live in. We ought to love it. You come to our country and you're an immigrant. Leave your stuff at your homeland. Learn our language. Learn our laws. Leave your laws at home. They didn't do good for you. Look what you're doing now. You're coming to America. You're going to feast off to us and take all the things that our forefathers gave so they could have it. Shame on you. I welcome you in open arms, as most Americans do, if you'll come here and love America. But if you don't want to come here and live like an American, go on home. We don't need you. Go back to your poverty. Go back to your fascist ways. Don't make America. Don't come plummet America. And I got something else for you, terrorist. You'd be pretty stupid coming to this building. We love America. And we'll do what we can to protect our families. And protect our country. He said, I don't like that. Well, why don't you go like Jane Fonda and some of the other girls that said that if Mr. Trump gets in president, they're going to leave our country. I hope to God Trump gets in, because I'd sure like to see that. And I'll help him move. I'll be more than help. I'm happy to. Don't you know what we have here? We have the most magnificent government. We have the most magnificent fruited plains and the purple mountains and the amber waves of grain. And we got a place that we can worship God the way the Bible teaches us and it dictates. Hey, listen this morning. God loves you. God loves you. For God so loved the world that He gave. He gave His only Son so that you could be free from your sins. And you'd have a home in heaven by inviting Jesus Christ to come in. You know what? There's a lot of countries I couldn't tell you that if I was in this pulpit. But I can tell you that. I can tell you that God said, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. All you have to do is put your trust in Jesus Christ. Boy, it's a terrible thing. There's a lot of crazy things going on in this old world. I hope to God that you know there's a time in your life you accept Christ your Savior. Let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, for today. Thank you for our country. But most of all, thank you for the one who gave us our country, God. In those years of the 1400s and 1500s when men were crying because of the persecution of Christianity. They begged God for a place that they could come and worship freely. They weren't going to fight anybody else. All they wanted to do was just have the privilege of worshiping. Thank you for America. Thank you for men and women who gave their lives so that we could be free. Lord God, I pray today that we would realize there's a God in heaven that died on the cross so we could be free of our sins. And we'd have a God that we could worship. Lord, speak to our hearts now, Lord. Lord, if there's anyone here today not sure they're saved, not sure they're on the way to heaven, today that it would be their day. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. You're here today, say, preacher. You know, I've come to the point in my life I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven. You know, I've come to the point that I'm kind of scared about this thing. Things are happening around me so fast, I don't know which way to turn. Oh, I will tell you something. There, you can turn to Jesus. Jesus loves you. The God that created this universe, the God that created this magnificent planet that we live in, said, I love you. And because of sin, sin had to be paid for, and so God had to make hell. And those that will not receive as their personal Savior, the Bible said that's His ultimate doom. But He loved you so much that He gave Himself for you, that if you invite Jesus Christ to come in your heart, ask Him to forgive your sins, He promised to forgive you and promised to come in your heart. You hear today and say, preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. I don't know that. I'm not sure of it. Right there, God said, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's for you. You can be saved. I hope that you will today. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. You're here today and say, preacher, I'm not sure about that. I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven. My friend, if you'd like to know that today, why don't you just pray this prayer? Say, God, I know that I'm a sinner. And I realize because of my sin, I have to pay a terrible price. That's death and hell. I don't want to go to hell. I want to go to heaven someday. So I ask you, Jesus, to forgive my sins. And I ask you to come into my heart right here, right now. And if you prayed that prayer, why don't you just thank Him right now? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for giving my sins. And thank you for coming to my heart and giving me life everlasting forever. And when I die, you promise to take me to heaven. You're here today and say, preacher, I prayed that today. Would you lift your hand? God bless you. Anybody else? I ask Jesus to be my Savior today. Father in heaven, I pray you'd be with us now as we have this time of invitation. Lord, speak to our hearts now in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Going to ask everyone to stand to their feet. Everyone standing. You're here today and say, preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven. You talk about the freedom we live in America. Just think of the freedom that God gives you to live the rest of your life knowing for sure that if you die, you go to heaven. What a wonderful thing that is. You're here today, pianist's going to play. You say, preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved today. I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven. Or you're here today and you say, "Preacher, I prayed that prayer when you prayed, and I want to ask Jesus in my heart. Why don't you come at this time?" Are you sure you're saved? Are you sure you have a home in heaven? Most important thing you ever do in your life. By the way, freedom is not free. It cost our forefathers. There's row after row after row after row after row of Revolutionary War men that died for the freedom of our country. Our country is full of graves of valiant men and women who gave their lives for our freedom. There's one who had to die on a cross. He was a perfect man, never sinned, never even thought sin. But he died for you so that you could have freedom. I'm going to tell you something. There is no cemetery there anymore. On the third day, he rose from the grave. 40 days later, he went to heaven, and he's at the right hand of the Father making intercession for us, praying. He's praying right now that you'd get saved. Are you saved? Are you sure you're on your way to heaven? If you're not, would you please come? Let me show you from the Word of God. You're today and say, "Preacher, I've been saved, but I haven't followed Lord and believers' baptism. Why don't you come?" Preacher, I'm going to get baptized. I'm going to be immersed down the water and up out of the water, illustrating the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Maybe you're here today and say, "Preacher, we want to become members of this. This is where we want to serve at. Why don't you come at this time?" Father in heaven, we thank you for today. We thank you for the opportunity we can speak about America. God, I pray you'd help us, Lord Jesus, to live in this country. Lord, that we would certainly take our responsibility very serious. And then, Lord God, for those who trusted you as their Savior this morning, pray you just speak to their hearts. Help them, Lord. And we love you. We thank you for all you've given to us. Lord, keep us safe today and bring us back tonight. And all God's people said, amen.